Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS.
Yes!
Yes, welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
What a wonderful hour it is, too. But disclaimer, this is a comedy fangirl podcast. That means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast, though, so if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some, fuck, Namjoon is making us all cry with his perfection.
Or, damn, Tae's really digging that emerald earring.
Then you're in the right place. By the way, welcome to our 40th episode.
40th episode. That's insane.
Dude, we've been doing this for 9 months now. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, this podcast is literally our baby.
It really is our child. We've nurtured it. It's grown so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, but really, I can't believe that we've actually sat down and recorded 40 times. That's just really bizarre to me.
Yeah.
But what's funny is when I was kind of reflecting on this, I thought about when I was at one of my field works, like a couple months ago. I remember on my last day, I told my supervisor that I have this podcast because I didn't want to tell her because it's like really inappropriate. Like, it's a really raunchy podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, whatever. She's like really chill and she like thought it was awesome. But when I told her about it, she's like, wait, it's about a band? I'm like, yeah. She's like, how can you possibly make that many episodes on a band?
Oh my God. And the amount of times that people have said this to me.
Like, yeah. It's really, the episodes are limitless. Yeah. Honestly. Mm-hmm.
We could, I mean, people ask that all the time and it's like, it's not hard. There's so much to talk about.
I mean, their fashion, ships, run episodes. I mean, we have 3 series going right now. That alone would make like hundreds of episodes.
And we also haven't even ever talked about Bon Voyage or Burn the Stage.
We never talked about Burn the Stage. That I'm kind of like, we're too far along now that I feel like it would be odd to talk about Burn the Stage at this point. But
yeah,
it is what it is.
Yeah.
Anyways, thank you to everyone who listens, who supports us, and who talks with us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Gmail. We love you all.
Yes, thank you, everybody. You keep us going every week, and we feel so lucky to have so many, like, in real life friends and connections through making this podcast now and, like, because of BTS. So It's just incredible.
Yes, we purple all of you.
Yeah, we purple you.
Speaking of amazing listeners, there was a listener who recently emailed us, and I just have to read it because it hit me. It struck me. It's just too endearing. So she said, "Dear Bethany and Kayla," which she said her names opposite ways, which I thought was interesting. But anyways, "I just want to thank you for your podcast. Because of Standing BTS, my grandmother is now listening and enjoying BTS. In the past, when I would talk about them to her, she would have no idea what I was talking about. But after having her listen to the podcast, she now has some understanding of BTS and ARMY. Thank you for helping bring me and my grandmother closer than we already are and keep the podcast coming. Thanks, Nicole.
Aww.
Her grandmother now likes BTS because of us? Like, what?
Yeah.
That really just was bizarre to me, but that's amazing. Like, that is so, so sweet. Like,
that just, like, makes my heart so happy that she can have, like, this other thing with her grandma now. And, like, that's so sweet.
So this intro is just going to be me talking, I guess. So
yeah, because you have something else to say, but it's really, really cool.
Yeah. So I was at Starbucks the other day, in which I have never been to the Starbucks. I just went through the drive-thru. Like, I was by it, so I just went in Starbucks. So I hit up the Starbucks and I go through the drive-thru, and I guess my arm was kind of hanging outside my window of the car, I guess. Like, I was kind of leaning out, and the girl who was like giving me my coffee and taking my payment, there was another girl behind her who was kind of just walking by, and then all of a sudden she stops and she like throws herself out the window and she's like, "Do you like BTS?"
Oh my God.
I was like, "Yeah, I love BTS." She's like, "I saw your tattoo. How beautiful. I love it." She's like, "I just got back from Chicago."
Oh my God.
She went to their concert in Chicago. And I was like, "I saw them in Fort Worth." And she's like, "Oh my God, you must have been so close because it was such a small venue." And I was in the drive-thru, so I only had a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, I got so flustered and so thrown off that I actually ordered 2 cups of coffee because I got one for my mom. Uh-huh. And I took one coffee. I was so, like, just thrown off by this and just amazed that I was about to, like, drive off. Like, I drove off, and then the girl at the window, who probably has no idea who BTS is, she's like, "Wait, I had to put my car in reverse." And go back to the window. Like, this is classic me. Like, this is what I'm talking about. I'm so awkward like this. But it was too funny. And I kind of want to go back and tell her that I have a podcast, but I was in, you know, the drive-thru.
Oh,
so.
My God. But that's so amazing. Like, oh, that's my dream to, like, meet an ARMY out in the wild. And
yeah,
be like,
who sees your tattoo.
Yes. Like, how fucking cool. And, oh, my God. Like, you have to go back to that Starbucks. You have to, like, talk to this person again.
I really should go back to that Starbucks.
Tell me about Chicago.
I'll go inside this time. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. At the same time of day.
Yeah. She said she was really high up, but she said that it was still amazing. I'm like, well, duh. It's BTS. God. Like, no matter where you're sitting, it's perfect.
Yeah. So other news is that I think next week we are going to have a new song at the beginning of this podcast, and we're super, super excited. We, like, really have put a lot of thought into it, and, like, it's going to be different from what you guys are used to, but
yeah,
I think
our
it's going to represent
gonna be a lot different.
Yeah, but I think it's going to represent us better, and, like, how, like, I, you know, like, our podcast better. It's going to be really awesome. So we're excited for that. So you guys should be excited for it.
So we're going to actually use our money from Patreon to pay this guy. His name's Dylan, who is very well versed in remixing and making songs like that. So he's going to do it for us. So hopefully it turns out really good. I have good faith. Okay. Here's an overview of the episode.
Yeah.
For today's episode. So what we're going to do is we're going to recap the Love Yourself tour in North America, and, of course, because we totally have to, talk about how incredible their last concert was in North America, which was at Citi Field.
Yep. We're going to pick out a few, like, specific moments, things to talk about at Citi Field that we felt just from outside observers looking at whatever sources we could, that stood out to us. So just to talk about where they went on their North American tour, they went to LA at the Staples Center. They went to Oakland after that at the Oracle Arena. They went to Fort Worth, where we were, at the Convention Center. They went to Hamilton, Ontario, at the First Ontario Center. They went to Newark, New Jersey, at the Prudential Center, Chicago, Illinois, at the United Center, and lastly, this past weekend, New York City at Citi Field. And all of this happened between September 5th and October 6th. So they did 7 cities.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
14 shows, 40 hours of performing for over 355,000 fans in 32 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Don't you just wonder how they are functioning? Like, they have to be exhausted.
Dude.
That's insane. 7 cities in 32 days is already really exhausting. But to also do 14 shows on top of it, like, you're not just chilling, relaxing, vacationing. You're working. 14 shows, 40 hours of performances. That's incredible. I mean, really, I don't know how that's humanly possible.
And the 40 hours of performances don't account for, like, how much time they spend, like, sound check, warming up, makeup time, hair time, like, downtime. Like, you know, it's...
I mean, they really work 24/7.
Yeah.
It's really... It makes me feel, like, so sad sometimes. Like, I don't want to be sad, but they just work so hard.
Mm-hmm. They also were interviewed by Jimmy Fallon and on Good Morning America, and they performed on both of those shows, as well as America's Got Talent. So, like, all of those things are big fucking deals. Like, at the time, American media was making such a big deal about this. It was all I was seeing. Like, my family was texting me about it, and they're not even, like, into BTS. So,
and I'm sure all of you listeners can relate to this too. I'm sure a lot of your guys' families and friends were like, hey, is this that Korean pop group that you like? Like, they're going to be performing here. Did you hear this? Because that was happening to me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Corey's family was talking about it. My family was talking about it. Yeah.
My coworkers were asking me about it. It is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially getting on, like, a late night talk show and then, like, a morning show that is such, like, Good Morning America is such an institution. So,
really,
like, that was a big deal.
My friend Amber was like, damn, they're on Good Morning America. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I watched that shit when I was in, like, elementary school before going to school in the morning. Like,
you know,
people grow up watching that. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And then on top of all of that, they also spoke at the UN, which, my gosh, was so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also had a conversation at the Grammy Museum, which I think is some sort of foreshadowing, in my opinion. I'm really hoping and praying that they get a Grammy, or at least nominated for a Grammy. If they even are nominated for a Grammy, that's insane.
Insane. They have to be
at the Grammys. But well-deserved.
Well-deserved, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, let's talk about Citi Field.
Yeah.
So I think... it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it, that this this performance and this, like, whole concert, the fact that it took place is iconic, it's legendary, and it is glass ceiling shattering. Because,
Absolutely.
They are the first K-pop group to perform in a stadium in the U.S. That's not new info, but, it happened. It's a huge deal. And I want to reference this New York Times article that I love. We'll put the link in the description. But they say, following several years in which K-pop's biggest and most ambitious performers have been making inroads into the United States, BTS has become the most successful K-pop act in this country. And they go on to mention the success of Tear and Answer on American charts, mentioning that Tear was the first K-pop album to debut at number one on the Billboard Hot 200, while Answer was the second to be number one. So back to back, like, crazy. And later on in the article, they say, for all the expert choreography and planning that went into this performance, what made it particularly accessible was the members' air of casualness, remaining calm on the surface while working furiously underneath. They understood the importance of small gestures at several places, both on stage and in filmed interludes. A couple of members would briefly hold hands or embrace, showing a playful, grounded warmth.
Wow. I love that, how they put that. Especially saying remaining calm on the surface while working furiously underneath. That yes. is exactly what they do.
What they do. Oh my God, they're so fucking amazing. Like,
I know. I know. I feel that since we weren't around for the Wings tour, uh-huh. when we watched Burn the Stage, it's a little bit harder for us to understand kind of just how calm and collected they were on the stage. Because we didn't see all the clips, you know. I mean, I've seen clips of it now, but mm-hmm. we're living through these concerts, you know, as fans now today. That we're actually seeing them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, what if something happened at Fort Worth at our concert that we didn't know about, but they looked perfectly normal and fine to us when they went out and performed? So mm-hmm. it's just, yeah. I mean, I love Crazy. That this New York Times, that they ended up saying that they remain calm on the surface while working furiously underneath. I mean, it's the truth.
It is. And I love this quote because it just really cuts right through it, in that it really represents that BTS is so genuine. Like, in so many words in this paragraph, they're just basically saying that they're genuine and humble attitude just like comes through, which mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I felt at the concert, you know, like,
yeah, I know that they have these certain little things that they do kind of at almost every concert, like Taejin being super intimate with each other and mm-hmm. just trying to entice each other. It's really funny, but at the same time, it's like, okay, yeah, maybe they have pre-planned this, which duh, they totally have. But at the same time, in the moment, I truthfully feel that they are having fun. When they're yeah. performing, I don't think they're putting on an act. I truthfully believe that they are having a blast when they're out on the stage. And that, I don't know, their connection with ARMY seems genuine and real. Mm-hmm. I know that maybe, like, I'm just brainwashed and so obsessed and in love with BTS that maybe I just think this and it's not true. But I really do believe it.
I do, too.
And I think, I mean, you read it in this article, and these people who aren't even super ARMY. Hard BTS stands, yeah.
Yeah, they see it. Like, these people
see
it.
They see it. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of these incredible moments at the concert at Citi Field.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, again, a lot of these moments correlate to a lot of other moments that happened at other concerts in North America. So I think it's great that we are going to mention them here. Mm-hmm. But definitely some of these have been at other concerts, such as J-Hope going fucking insane during Bebse, or Jungkook doing the shoot dance during So What. I mean, that was just kind of a repeated act a throughout. Theme. But
yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So first we have to talk about Bebse. Like, okay.
Go big or go home.
Oh, let's my start God. With that. Go fucking big or go home. This performance. So I watched it last night. I sent it to you. I don't know what the fuck you were doing, first of all, because it wasn't even. Because
I didn't respond.
Yes, because it was like 7 o'clock. Okay. And you didn't text me back all night. And I had sent you like 4 videos and like freaking out fangirl texts. Like, and I'm like, okay, she'll get to it tomorrow. When I was texting you, it wasn't like, you shouldn't have been asleep. Like, you should have been awake. I don't know what you were doing, but it was fine. I was hanging out with my friend Holly, and we were dying together.
Yeah. I was binge watching the show Maniac on Netflix. And okay. I had Anthony over, and I just was just focused on that. And Corey, Anthony, and I were watching it. Sorry.
It's okay. But you watched
but
it
I
today.
But I watched him today. I watched him today.
That's why we're talking about, because this, first of all, this fucking fan cam, it's from the Ultimate Dodo. She's a fan site. Yeah. But this fan cam is fucking, it might as well just be like a J-Hope focus. But
really?
They were all giving their all during this performance, this specific performance of Bapsai. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, this whole concert, every single performance that I saw, it was just like taken to another fucking level.
I know. They went hard for this concert because not only was it their last concert, but it was at fucking Citi Field.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just extreme. This concert was very intense, and they knew that they had to put their all into it because it's their first stadium performance in America, which is a big deal. But also, it's like they're going out with a big bang, basically, because it's their last concert, and it's at Citi Field. So, yeah, but say this fan cam is intense.
Dude. So we get, like, a lot of all of the members in this fan cam, but I just need to talk about J-Hope because holy shit. Okay.
Well,
so,
J-Hope, this whole tour has been killing this whole tour, dance.
Especially this during this dance. I mean, everybody has seen the clips on Twitter where it's, like, he does that thrust and you can see, like, his dick where, you know, everybody's like, no,
flopping
there's
around.
No. Right. But this time is not like the other times. Like, when it's his turn to do this, when it's his time to come up and be like, they call me, like, at the like his last time when he does this, he like hits that kick so far. And during the part where it goes, whoa, he like headbangs hella hard. And then he also like drops down and like does the splits kind of like almost like a hurdle stretch style. But he's doing the splits. And
it is like a. Yeah.
Yeah. But then he fucking pops back up and he's right at the front, like the front corner of the fucking stage. And he does the most intense hip thrust, like, of all time, of all of J-Hope's existence. And the first time that I saw it, me and my friend, we literally screamed and, like, we felt, we were leaning forward, okay, both sitting on my couch leaning forward, and we, like, fell backwards, like, we were gonna faint, like, full organs shut down. It was intense.
It's overwhelming.
It's over fucking whelming.
It's too much, and he knows it.
It's not like we're. You guys need to watch this specific fan cam, and it's like towards the end of it. We're linking it. You have to watch, but like fair warning, you might die.
Yeah, when you texted me and you sent it to me, you were like, okay. If, well, you sent me like three other videos, but you're like, if you watch any of these, you need to watch the Bepse one.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's true. J-Hope, whenever I see him do this performance, I'm like, damn, he has so much stamina. I mean, really. Like when he just, during Bepse and really during the whole concert, he is so energetic and he doesn't falter throughout the entire performance. I mean, he just is so physically fit and energetic and just so much stamina.
For sure. That's what constantly surprises me, like, of him in concert. Like, he does not stop. There is no off. He just keeps going. Like, it's like the crowd gives him so much energy. And like, that's what BTS says over and over again.
But also, I just have to point out, Taeyang also during Bepse for the Citi Field performance, he did something that I was not prepared for.
No.
This boy owns my ass, man. Okay, he decided that during Bepse, and he, like, does those hip thrusts like everyone else does, but he kind of, in this one, he just barely does it, just enough to make us get all wild up from it. It's like one really hard jolt, like pelvic thrust, and so you see it and it's there and it's intense. But not only does he do that, he just decides to point at his dick as if we don't see it already. Like, you don't need to point at it. We can see it and we know it's there. Like, we get it. You have a big ass dick.
Yeah.
And it makes us all suffer.
It's really. Like, the best part of this is that he's like clearly pointing at it. Like, it's like, oh my God, what are you doing?
I know. And he smirks when he does it.
Yeah, he does.
Like, he knows what he's doing.
God damn it.
It's like he saved this. He saved to do the pointing at his dick motion for this particular concert. Because I don't think he did it for any of the others. I could be wrong. But I saw it for this. And like I said, he owns my ass. I mean, really, I would do anything for him.
Oh, by the way, anybody who is good at editing, if you could make an edit of that J-Hope part during Bapsai and slow it down when he is doing anything sexy, that would be incredible. Because I don't know how to do that, but I'm sure somebody
doesn't
out there...
Grace edit videos? I think Grace does.
I don't know.
She's a J-Hope stan too.
We should ask, because I need that video so bad. Especially where it turns like black and white, you know what I'm talking about? It like zoom in and turn like black and white. We'll die.
Oh, everybody. Yeah, where it's color, but then it turns black and white all of a sudden, yeah. To make it, you know, more dramatic.
God, this podcast is so raunchy.
It really is raunchy. This is why no one in my professional life can ever know this about me. All right. So something else that happened during the concert, which was really actually very sad, was Taeyong fell during, he kind of like slipped during Anpa Man. And it's really hard to watch. It really is. Because poor baby. He falls backwards on his butt. And it's so sweet though, because Jun comes over and he helps him. He helps him get up and he really tries to make sure he's okay. And of course, Taeyong is just laughing and just... kind of, you know, he's just laughing it off and he says, I'm fine, I'm okay. But I mean, we never really know. Like, maybe he's just saying that because he has to. Like, you know, the concert's still gonna keep going on, so he has to get over it. But maybe I'm just hoping and praying that he really did not get hurt for that.
Yeah, that was really hard to watch. Like, I actually didn't know that this happened. And so when you said that and you sent the video, I watched it and I was like, oh my God, like that, it looked like it hurt so bad. And
he fell down pretty hard.
He slipped. I mean, his feet went right out from under him and he fell straight onto his back. Like, like at least would knock the wind out of you. It happened so fast. So
like it at least... he has to at least be feeling it the next day, either just a soreness or maybe a bruise or two. But it could be even worse than that, which is so sad. I don't want to think about that. We just want them all to be healthy and happy.
Yeah, I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
Something else that happened, and this is like during the encore time, is that Jin was wearing army bombs on his shoulders, like one on each shoulder, like stuck into his shirt. It was amazing.
Yeah, his worldwide shoulders. I like to call him that.
Worldwide shoulders. That's amazing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but I thought that was so funny. He, like, I don't know, he used, like, electric tape to, like, tape them on. Yeah. It was too funny.
Whatever works.
Mm-hmm. So another thing that I saw that happened that I actually did not know about until doing this research was that fireworks are... always kind of like done at baseball stadiums when there's a home run or something like that. So I guess it would only make sense. I mean, duh. Like they could actually do fireworks because it's outside and stuff. And so they ended up during So What, they shot off fireworks, which is, I mean, just.
That's so fucking
incredible.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that feeling.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine seeing that in person.
And just being like. Seeing fireworks go up over BTS and like this whole performance like about to come to an end, their whole North American tour, like this is how the beginning of the close starts with fucking fireworks.
I know. I bet it was just astonishing to see that, like being an army sitting in the stands of this stadium, and then during So What, like I bet no one was expecting that. Just back behind the stage, they see all these fireworks shoot off right when it goes, So What?
Amazing.
I mean, how epic. It's incredible.
Yeah. I wonder if that was like their surprise that they were hinting at.
That could have been it. They from what I saw on Twitter, people said that armies who were waiting in line, the crew came up to them and they said, there's something big that's going to happen. Like a surprise during this performance. And so maybe it was the fireworks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing that we want to talk about is their ending speech meant. They're like the last thing that they all say before they perform Love Myself or answer Love Myself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, I mean, this video is like a 15-minute video where we get to listen to all of them. So we just kind mm-hmm. of broke down a little summary of what they said. But each of them really, I feel like really spoke from the heart for this.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. They meant it when they said it.
So Jimin was covering his mouth with his fist. And he was just like, I feel like he was, you know, already feeling like he was going to cry and like he was trying mm-hmm. to not do it yet. He's like, I have to talk.
Yeah.
But he was just staring out in disbelief at the stadium, just full of armies, like 45,000 people,
you know,
mm-hmm. that's fucking crazy. And he says, the fact that we got to perform here, it just feels like a dream. Yeah. Today is a day that I'll never forget.
I know. So then Jin went on to do his speech, and he asked if ARMY had had a fun night and that he's been happy every day because of ARMY. And quote, he said, all great things must come to an end, but I have a feeling we will see you soon. I love you, ARMY.
So Yoongi was up next, and he says that the last show feels really bittersweet, and he's like, but he says, like, thanks to you, like, we'll be able to see you again. And he hints at what is coming next year, and he says that he'll leave it up to our imagination. And I feel like we should all be saying it's the fucking Grammys. Like,
it's the Grammys. The Grammys I believe are around January.
Yeah,
is what I think. So that's next year.
Uh-huh. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, like, it's Yoongi so fucking bad. Saying it. So what do you think is going to happen? Like, he knows that he's hinted at it. He would be the one to hint at it again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I love what he says at the end. He says, for us, we dreamed a dream and you guys imagined it. Now we're here. Us. Let's see each other next year. Saraneo. And I love this one because I was just talking about how, like, 2013, 2014, like, BTS, like, did not think they were going to make it. And mm-mm. I saw a tweet from somebody recently who was like, I remember crying as, like, a, you know, like, 2014 ARMY, thinking that BTS was going to be disbanded because they weren't, like popular enough. And
wow.
I feel like ARMY fucking made this happen. Like, just thinking about it in that way, like, ARMYs back then loved BTS so much and knew that they were so special and could not imagine, like, did not want them to break up. So, like, they mm-hmm. were like, let's just give them all this love, all this support, like, whatever we can do. And now, like, now we're here. Yeah. BTS dreamed a dream, but we imagined it too. And, like, ARMY made it happen.
Mm-hmm. Really? It's really difficult for me to comprehend that back in 2014, they really thought that they weren't going to make it. Even 2015-ish, they really thought that and believed that. And they were all working incredibly hard to try to stay together and make good music and perform as best to their ability as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And now here they are at Citi Field. And I really do believe that it is ARMY who, I mean, they have incredible talent. I feel like that obviously is, like,
goes without the biggest contributor. Being said. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, they're not undeserving by any means.
Yeah. It's the people who saw it in them. The people who believed in them were ARMY. And mm-hmm. so that's why I feel they are so truthfully and genuinely grateful and give us a lot of the credit for their success, if not all of it. Which is unbelievable because they work so hard, you know? They're the ones who make this music. They're the ones who work hours upon hours in this dance studio perfecting choreography. I mean, really. Ah, I'm going to cry.
Me too. I just saw a tweet today that was from like the Citi Field day. And it said, it was two pictures side by side, and it said, 5 years ago, BTS was exhausted after practicing all day at the end of the summer. Today, they're performing at Citi Field. And it was a picture of them in the old dance practice studio, and half of the lights are off, and it's like the wood floor, and BTS is just kind of like spread throughout the room, laying on the ground, sleeping. Like, so tired from practicing and rehearsing, and now, like, 5 years later, performing at Citi Field.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's marvelous. It's really just amazing that they've come this far.
Mm-hmm.
So Taeyong, what he ended up saying, he said, our fans have become a major part of what we do. And he said, you are the brightest stars in my universe. Oh, baby. And when he said all this, too, he was so cute. Like, he had his hand on his hip, and he was looking out at us like, yeah, you're my brightest star.
Also, at the beginning of, like, this speeches segment, he had picked up one of those long silver streamers that was, hooked onto a speaker on the stage. He was, like, wrapping it around his neck and, like...
This is so typical of him.
It was so funny. It was, like, too long, so he couldn't wrap it around one time.
Because they're outside. Yeah. They're outside. There's, like, wind, so he's, like, struggling to get this to, like, wrap around his neck like a scarf.
He eventually took it off, and I hope that some lucky army, like, got it, but...
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure, but, yeah, that was hilarious. So Jungkook was next, and he acknowledges the history being made, like the fact that they're at Citi Field as a K-pop group, and he says that this was the best day ever. He talked about all of like the power and the energy of the tour, and he promised that they will come back, and he said, because of you guys, we are happy. We wish that you will be happy too.
Such a sweetie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love that he acknowledged that history was being made. I do.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't come off cocky or, you know, insincere. Like, he's meaning it because, like, he's wanting to acknowledge it for us. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, it's not for them. Yeah. It's for us, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said his part completely in English, which I think is an important point to make because he worked really hard to figure out what he wanted to say and how he wanted to say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Taeyong also said his in complete English, if you want to mention it too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so does Hoseok. So Hoseok talks next, and he says, everyone... Which I think is, I mean, how he says that, how he says everyone is just
everyone.
Perfect.
Everyone. Uh-huh. Oh, it's so amazing.
But what's so funny is after he says everyone, Jungkook puts the mic up to his mouth and he says, every two. Like, what a little shit. He thinks this is just so funny that he said this. Like, him and Jen just start cracking up. But Hoseok goes on to say, nothing can explain this feeling, like this feeling of being at Citi Field. And he says, even though I barely speak English, I wanted to get close to you guys, so I learned all my comments in English. I hope my true feelings are shown.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just, and during this part too, that is just so empowering is that while he's like giving this, his little like speech, the people in the stadium, like army, are chanting, J-Hope.
Yeah. Like,
it's just powerful.
Yeah. I love it. It was like overpowering him at one point. It was just like the energy, the power that J-Hope like possesses and draws out of people is crazy.
Honestly, all of them have glowed up, but Hoseok, he has glown up. He shines so bright. It's impossible not to notice him at the concert.
Yeah.
I mean, all of them, really, but he just is so... He has such a stage presence.
So, for Namjoon, we are actually going to play you guys a little clip of what he says. So... just like the second part of his speech is the clip, so I kind of want to say what he says leading up to it. He says, he mentions that they're the first Korean musician ever in a U.S. stadium, and he says, you guys made it, you guys made it, as if, like, ARMY is the reason.
Yeah.
And he also talks about how the music that started there in New York City, aka, like, rap and hip-hop and things like that, gave him a new life and gave him a dream. So that was, he was explaining that it was cool to him that that's where they got to perform their last concert here for this tour. So now let's hear this clip from the speech, and, fair warning, there is some screaming, but I found a clip that has like the most clear speech of his with the least amount of like crazy screaming. But it is a concert, and people, I mean, like, you'd be growing crazy, too, if you were there. So let's listen.
I love this Love Yourself tour. I'm finding how to love myself. You know, I didn't know anything about loving myself. You guys taught me through your eyes, through your love, through your tweets, through your letters, through your everything. You guys taught me and inspired me how to love myself. And you know, what is loving myself? What is loving yourself? I don't know. Who can define their own method and the way of loving myself? It's our mission. It's our mission to define our way to love ourselves. So it's never intended, but it feels like I'm using you guys to love myself. So I want to say one thing. Please use me. Please use BTS to love yourself.
Wow.
I mean,
please use BTS to love yourself.
The way when he says that, the way that he says please, and then he pats his chest with his hand, like he's trying to tell us with his body language before he can get it out, like, please use me, please use BTS, like, oh my God. And it kind of gets drowned out a little bit, but he says, because you guys taught me how to love myself every day. Like, my God.
I just love that he also addresses this. What is it to love myself? What is the method? How do we do this? How do we know how to do this? There is no equation. There is no algorithm for it. It's unique to each and every person. Mm-hmm. So it's a journey. It's truthfully a journey, just like the Love Yourself series has been. And he says that. He said, what is loving myself? What is loving yourself? I don't know.
I love how he says that.
Define it. Yeah, we ourselves define it. But while you're trying to find or figure out how to love yourself, or even as I am trying to figure out how to love myself, I use you on days I don't love myself, and you can use us, BTS, on days when you don't love yourself. So love yourself either way. Like, incredible.
And I just, like, I love that he says, like, who can define our method of loving ourselves? Like, we get to define, we get to decide and find the way that we want to love ourselves, which is just, like, so empowering, because there's so many different kinds of people out there, and there's so many people who are different than me and different than you. And, like, you know, what one person has to do to feel love for themselves can be completely different than what somebody else has to do. So I love the notion of, like, no one can define that for us. Like, we have to figure it out, but, like, no one can tell us that the way that we're loving ourselves is wrong.
I know. Yeah.
But Namjoon ends his speech with saying, thank you so much. We love you guys. Konsamida. And then he does this Korean heart and smiles so big, and the camera, like, zooms in on his face, so it's like just face with Korean heart in the foreground, and it's so, he's just, like, so cute and just, like, beaming, and you could tell that whole speech was just so genuine and just, like, I mean, you guys heard it, you probably cried. I cried, like,
yeah,
damn it,
he is just such an influential person. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, when Big Hit chose him as the leader of the group, it's just incredible that he, to this day, as they've grown and developed as people, that he has continued to be this very powerful and compelling man, you know? Mm-hmm. And when he speaks, he is heard. It's just...
Yeah. But he also says things... He says what he means. It matters what he says. You know, like, so many people say things and they have a platform and, like, they do or they don't mm-hmm. do things about it or whatever, or they are actually living that truth or they're not or whatever. But, like, mm-hmm. with Namjoon, you can tell, like, he takes this role so seriously. Like, you know, oh, just yeah. even the role of the leader of BTS so seriously. But you know he's one of those people that understand the world in this way, as if, like, you have this platform, he is blessed, he's lucky, and he knows that, like, it's his responsibility to help people with it, you know? And, like, I really think that that's what all of BTS is doing, and that's, like, their goal as a whole. But I think that a lot of, like, those main themes come from, like, at least speech-wise and, like, what they talk about, mm-hmm. like, through Namjoon as, like, the mouth of the group, if you would say that.
Yeah, he's just so intelligent and very logical, but at the same time, he has so much emotion to him, too, mm-hmm. and he has this kind of philosophical way of thinking. So, yeah, when he talks, it's just, you listen. You just listen to him. He has this aura, this powerful presence, and I just love him.
The other thing is, like, he doesn't shy away from his emotion either, which I feel is very uncommon for, like, especially men, like, in our culture, to see men do that, or just, like, as an idol to be able to be that way. But he is so forward with, like, his true thoughts and feelings, which is so rare.
I think that's what makes him special, the emotion that he has, because he has this, like, emotion and this empathy, and so it makes him this truthfully sincere, genuine person. Let me just rave about Namjoon.
We could talk. I mean, really, like, the reason why we showed you guys the clip of his actual speech is because we do find it so moving and mm-hmm. important, which is why we're spending so much time talking about it. Like, how could you not? Yeah. I mean, it's basically, he's basically the last one to say goodbye and, like, to wrap up the last words that they're going to say to ARMY on the North American tour. So
absolutely. Yeah.
It's so important. And right after his speech, they go in to Love Myself Answer.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
So this is their final goodbye.
Oh, this is their final goodbye.
Well, I guess not final because they're totally going to come back. They've hinted at that a lot, but they are saying goodbye to North America for now. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something that, like, everybody was talking about, like, from this performance is that Jimin was crying. Like, he had his arm up over his eyes and he was, like, trying to hide it, mm-hmm. but, like, they zoomed in, they got a face shot up close where you could see like all under his eyes and all down his cheeks was just, like,
happy tears, all wet.
He was just, like, crying so much.
Uh-huh.
It was like, but yeah, you could tell it was happy tears, and it was just like
very happy tears.
I mean, we were at the concert as fans, but we weren't at the concert as, like, a performer, right? Like, we can't really mm-hmm. fathom, like, how they're feeling. Like, we don't know. We can guess. But just guessing at, like, the overwhelming feelings just coming from, like, the end of this concert and the end of this mm-hmm. North American tour and, like, performing at this, like, monumental venue and, like, this occasion and how special mm-hmm. it was. Like, how could you not cry?
Mm-hmm. This is an entirely new level of success for them. And, I mean, the only way that I can kind of try to comprehend what they're feeling is in our own small little world. I mean, when I got accepted to OT school, I cried.
Yeah.
When I anytime I make some sort of small little success in my life, like getting married or whatever, some sort of life event happening, yeah, you cry because it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. But I cannot imagine this monumental, successful concert that they just had and to see 40,000 faces staring back at you, admiring you and appreciating you for all of the hard work that you do and the music you sing and dance to. I mean, I can't imagine. This is their career. This is their life. And they dedicate all of their time and energy into this. And this is their biggest, wildest dreams are coming true right in front of them. And so, yeah, I don't blame Jimin for sobbing. And, you know, it's... I'm so emotional for this episode. I don't know where it's coming from.
We thought we were going to be so fangirly, but we've been getting so emotional. It's really hard not to because, like, this was such a big deal. I saw this tweet that was saying that back in 2015, Jimin cried because they won first place on a music show for the first time. And that's 3 years ago. And, like, I mean, this spring, we talked about, for their, like, tier comeback, how many shows they were on and how many first place, like, titles they won. And, like, so many that we didn't even count them all in our, like, comeback recap episode. And we were sure that we left some out. And in 2015, he was crying over that they did it for the first time. And now they're at City fucking Field. Yeah.
Kayla, I have an interesting question for you.
Yeah.
If I did not tell you about BTS and I had not found out about BTS, do you think that we would know about BTS now? Because they have become this global phenomenon. And they have been for a while. But I mean, recently, since we started listening and enjoying their music back in, I guess, June of last year, from then until now, they're... fame has grown
exponentially. Yeah.
Wow, we just said exponentially at the same time. That's crazy. Do you think that you would know them now? I mean, honestly, that's a hard question to answer because you don't really know.
Yeah.
But they're played really on hope American radio.
If that could be an answer, I don't listen to, like, any radio now, but that's because all I do is I listen to other podcasts and BTS. I don't have a reason to listen to other radio. So maybe I would be listening to other radio or something like that. But, like, I can't imagine that I wouldn't have, right? Like, I would have seen, like, clips from Ellen on YouTube or, like, Jimmy Fallon or James Corden or, like, Billboard coverage or AMA's coverage, like, I would have had to, right? Or, like, Stan Twitter interacts with, like, different parts of Twitter all the time now. And I was, like,
just
a big
knew
Twitter
their
person.
Name. Yeah. Like, it's not so much that you went and actively listened to their music or you heard it on the radio, but you had heard the name BTS thrown out at some point or you've seen some article pop up on your Facebook feed or something. So I don't know. I was thinking about that the other day because since we started listening to them back last year, back in June, I've just thought a lot about how, wow, they have really grown a lot since then. Mm-hmm. But I've been listening to them and watching them all this time that I think it's harder for me to understand just how much more successful and more well-known they are now versus back then in just a year alone.
Yeah. I was actually thinking earlier, like, what if we had been fans, like, during the really hard times, like in 2014, when we were in college, like...
Man, imagine how surreal this is for those armies who have been here since 2013, 2014, since HYYH.
I know, we could have lived through it, god damn it. Like, I fucking needed BTS in college, you know?
Oh,
like,
really?
With all the shit that we went through...
Kayla, imagine if we could have bonded over them in college.
Bitch.
We would have never been friends with anyone else. We would have.
No, we would have been about 3 years into this podcast already.
Yeah.
We probably would have seen them in Chicago already. No, but like, it's crazy. It's so hard to fathom. I don't even know what we're talking about at this point, but.
Yeah, sorry. We're just like Sobfest. We should just name this episode Sobfest.
Sobfest. We talked about it for sure. Another, like, amazing moment that happened was during this song, the Love Myself Answer, J-Hope actually went off the stage, stepped down some side stairs, and he was still like, the barricade was still between him and Army, but he stepped down, so he was like at that level. And I cannot find the tweet. I have talked about like 16 tweets on this fucking podcast this week, and I can't find this tweet.
You need to start citing them or saving them. Like, send them to your DM on your personal Twitter.
I looked through the DMs that I sent to you on our account because I thought that I had sent this to you. But it's not on there. And I saw the girl's tweet, the girl who this actually happened to. But this girl was crying at the end. I mean, how many of us were crying at the end? Fucking everyone. Uh-huh. But
yeah.
J-Hope saw her crying and he went off the stage. He had probably planned to do this, but the bag that he wore at every fucking concert that had like stickers on it, the red like crossbody bag that he wore at the end of every concert for this tour, he took it off and he gave it to her. And like, I mean, and he is at like her eye level and he fucking handed it to her. And on the back it was like signed and it had like a message on it. Like, how fucking incredible.
That is amazing. I cannot believe he got off the stage and like went down to where the barricade was. I mean, I cannot imagine being armies who were right there and seeing him just get off the stage and hand an army his bag.
I know.
And J-Hope is known for his bags.
He is. And like, so that was such a huge deal. And like, by this point in the song, they're all kind of making their way off stage. The song is wrapping up. They bring the backup dancers out and thank them. And like, with that, their City Field concert and their North American tour is over.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And now they're off to Europe.
Yep.
Which is going to be, I'm excited to see all of those concerts too, because they have not gone to Europe yet. So this will be the first time.
There's a lot of people that like we follow on Instagram and Twitter who like have in their name or their bio right now, like, I get to see BTS in this place or this place, and it's all places in Europe. So I'm really excited for them because that means that their tour dates are coming up and they get to like finally go see them. It's such a huge deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Incredible.
Oh, man, this episode was fangirl. It was feels.
It was another fangirling and feels episode.
Sob fest. Anyways, we really enjoyed doing this episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it too. Our 40th episode. Such a huge deal to us. So thank you guys for being here. Thank you for listening. If you liked this episode, if you've liked any of our past 39 episodes, there's a few things that you could do. 39. There's a few things you could do. You could give us a rating and a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever it is. And you could also, if you want to support us, you could support us on Patreon or PayPal. We always want to hear from you guys. We always want to connect with you, have a conversation with you, hear about your story. So you can do that in a few different ways. You can email us. You can like our Facebook page and talk with us on Facebook. You can DM us on Twitter, on Instagram, and links for all of our social media, as well as our Patreon and PayPal, can be found in the description.
In the description, thanks for listening and thanks for stanning BTS.